Turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4 today. The book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Looking forward to seeing what Paul has for Timothy this morning. I hope that you've been enjoying this study. We are coming to the conclusion of this. You're saying we're going to be done with this today? No, not today. Maybe next week, maybe the week after, who knows. But I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I feel like I've gotten to know Paul just a little bit better. And I feel like I've gotten to know Timothy a little bit better in some areas. So just looking forward to what God has for us today. The title this morning, if you're wanting a title, it is this, is Come Quickly. And we'll see this as we go through this chapter this morning. I'm going to go back to verse number 1. The intent is to go down all the way to verse number 14 this morning. So let's begin reading in verse number 1 again. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I texted a friend of mine this morning that was getting into the pulpit probably about now. And I said, hey, have a great Lord's Day. Do one thing, preach the word. And I said that for a reason, because I know he's going through some troubles. Verse number 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I believe somebody said this a few weeks ago. Does anybody remember how Paul was killed? Anybody remember? Crucified upside down. So, he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel like he was worthy to be crucified the way Jesus was. So as we continue to go on here, where am I at here? Verse number 7, thanks Charlie. It says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We're going to deal with these verses here in the next 40-45 minutes here. It says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I really took some time with this verse this week, and I hope it's going to be a blessing to you. Verse number 9, it says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for thy for the ministry. And Titius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Well, isn't that comforting? Let's read this again. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Don't you wish you'd have friends like that? Well, Paul had some. I got to understand, Paul's human just like us. You got to understand those things. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, it is a great joy to be back here again this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you preserved it for us to continue to speak to our hearts. And so, God, I pray that we would continue to do our due diligence to read your word, study it, and to apply it to our hearts and to our lives daily. Lord, I pray this morning as we go through your word this morning, I pray that your truths would be revealed to us, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So, in verse number 8, what do we see that Paul is going to receive? Going to receive a crown. Amen. Isn't that kind of funny? As we went through the church of Pergamos, we saw the church of Pergamos was going to receive what type of a stone? A white stone, exactly. So we see here Paul is going to receive a special crown. And I'm not talking about, you know, when we think of crowns, we think of something that's, you got to understand my thought process, okay? I'm thinking of a fairy tale, that type of a crown when I see these things. Paul's going to receive a crown, but the thing about this crown is this. What are we going to do with the crowns that we receive when we get into heaven? We're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. You ever wonder why we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus? He deserves them. We don't deserve them, do we? But he sees fit. He thinks that we deserve them, and so he's going to give them to us. But we return those things to him. So it's a special crown that Paul is going to receive. It's a crown of righteousness. I thought about this, like, well, why is Paul getting this given to him? Have you ever stopped and considered that the Bible always has the answers right there? But sometimes we overlook the obvious when we're reading God's word. This crown is going to be given to Paul, and not just to Paul, but it's going to be given to others for what reason? It says here, shall give me at that day and not to me only. So they're saying there's going to be other people that's going to receive this crown. Who might that be? Well, it says here in verse number 8, it says, but unto all them also that love what? His appearing. Well, what's his appearing talking about here? It's talking about the second coming of Christ. It's a day that you and I as believers should be anticipating to happen in our lifetime. In other words, it's something that you and I should be looking forward to. You know how we look forward to the dinner that we're going to eat at night? I mean, Sundays there are days, some people, that's their big dinner. Some might put a dinner in a crock pot, and they might have some roast in there, whatever's in there, and they can't wait to get home to be able to take that lid off, and then all the aroma that comes out of there is just going to fill the house with that special food. And some of you ladies are like, ugh, I don't like the smell of food in my house. I know some women are like that. And Julie just raised her hand at that. Chris walked home last night. She goes, ew, what is that smell? I was like, it's dinner. That's what it is. But we look forward to those things, do we not? We look forward to taking some time off and getting out of our normal schedule and maybe taking off to go out of town to someplace warm or just a few hours away just to get away to relax. We anticipate those things, and we look forward to those things. We put them on the calendar, such and such a day where we're going to be here, and we're looking forward to that. Well, that should be the same mentality that we should have for the second coming of Christ. Well, we don't know the day or the hour. No, we don't know the day or the hour. That's the exciting thing about it, because it could be today. Today, before we're even done with our services, we might not even walk out of these doors, and we can be poof in the presence of the Lord. Now, how exciting would that be? You know, we say it's exciting, but are we anticipating it? Are we looking forward to that day when he's going to finally reveal himself to us, where we're finally going to be able to see who the Lord is? I'm looking forward to that day. You know, in our world today, we've been, a change has taken place since COVID-19. Now we are living in a society, and I'm not faulting anybody. Everybody's got their own right to do what they want to do, and I'm not going to say you're wrong for doing that, because they might say I'm wrong for this. I'm not here to do any of those things. But one of the things that has taken place in our world is we have masks. Masks cover up our face, and so we don't get to see what individuals look like. We don't get to see their smile. We don't get to see their features, and so we're being hidden from those things. You know, as of right now, we don't know what Jesus looks like. Why? Because he's in heaven, and I'm anticipating the day that I'm finally able to see his face. Last night, Chris and I, we had a little dinner. We didn't go to any place very special. It might be special to some folks, but I like Cracker Barrel. Does anybody like Cracker Barrel in here? Some of you folks don't like Cracker Barrel. That's fine. I like Cracker Barrel. I like walking in there to a nice warm fire. To me, that seems kind of cozy. But the last couple times that we've been in there, we've had a young lady who is going into a religion where she's required to have her head covered. And the ice has kind of been broken just a little bit. And last night, we were able to dive into her, more of a conversation with her. Not only is her head covered, but her face is covered as well. And so I begin to try to vision what she actually looks like. Tom, do you do that as well? I try to visualize the rest of their features on their face because it's hidden from us. So we're having a good conversation. We've been able to joke around. And folks, she thinks I'm funny. So I'm going to keep going back to Cracker Barrel because she flat out told me he's a funny man. And it was late at night, but she might have been tired. But anyway, as she's taking care of us and she's talking to us periodically, I'm wanting to see what she looks like. And I'm just waiting for the time that she lets her guard down. Well, she went into the kitchen. We're getting ready to leave. She went into the kitchen. She came back out, and guess what was gone? She pulled it down just a little bit. She forgot that her mask was below her chin. And I noticed it right away, and I looked at her, and I said, "You have a very beautiful smile." Just trying to break the ice with her a little bit more, and she engaged with us even a little bit more. I got to find out that she actually moved here from Florida, and I said, "Are you crazy? Did you not see the weather that we get here in the wintertime?" And the crazier thing is we found out she lived in the same town that my nephew just moved away from in Florida. What a small world that we live in. But I say this for this reason. Being served by her twice, I've just been looking forward to see what she actually looks like without that mask. Folks, I'm looking forward to the day where I'm able to finally see the Lord that I've been preaching about and teaching about. I'm looking forward to the day that I'm finally able to see the Lord that I'm praying to and casting my cares and casting my burdens upon him. Now, I'm looking forward to the day to see the Lord that saved my soul from hell to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. That's on my calendar. And I don't know what day it's going to be, but it doesn't matter to me what day it's going to be. I'm looking forward to it. You ever thought about when Jesus might come back? I'm just going to give you my thought process on it. You might laugh, you might not laugh. I really believe Jesus is going to come on Wednesday night. Why is that? Because the church isn't here on Wednesday night. That's why I believe that. That's just a little joke. Don't take offense to it. I get that from Thomas. Thomas wasn't around when Jesus came back. So the crown is given to those who love the second coming of Christ. Those who are eager for Christ's return. I want you to listen to this. Those who are eager for Christ's return are usually eager to fulfill his calling before he returns. Do you not see that take place in the life of Paul? Paul had a drastic change in his life. And so what Paul did from the day that he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Paul was eager to go out and fulfill the work that God has called him to. Because you go back to the book of Acts and what happened after Paul's conversion. It says Paul went out what? Immediately is a word where he is eager, anticipating the time that he's going to be working for God. In other words, immediately is another word for excited. He was excited for the opportunity that was presented to him. Why? Because it changed his life. And so now that his life has changed and he knows for certain that Christ is going to once again come back, he's eager to help fulfill his calling before he returns. Now, let me ask you a question. How are you helping to fulfill your calling in life before Jesus returns? Well, what do you mean? Folks, God didn't call us just to come in here and be bumps on a chair here. We're not a bump on a log. God has called us for a purpose. That purpose is to do what? That purpose is to do His will. So how are you fulfilling His will in your life before He returns? Now, is God going to catch you when He returns not doing anything for Him? That would be a sad state for all of us, wouldn't it? If Christ was to come back today, let's just say, if Christ was to come back today, what would we do different today? Knowing for sure that Christ is going to come back at 6 o'clock tonight, what would you and I do today? I can guarantee you this, we would be doing His will. Would we not? If we knew the Master was coming back today, would we not be doing His will? Folks, that's how we ought to live our life every single day. As if God is returning today. But we don't live that way, and so often we get out of our, or we stay in our comfort zones, and we don't want to do anything else. We're happy doing what we're doing. We're happy to fulfill our will in our life. We are, His purpose is no concern to us. So with that being said, what does that say about us when it comes to His second coming? Are we anticipating the day? Here's a question for you. Are you going to be a recipient of a crown of righteousness? Think about that. Because here's what it says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Think about this. This reward's not going to be given to me by Gary. This reward, if I am a recipient of it, is going to be given to me by none other than Jesus Christ. But there's a stipulation for this. It says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Folks, are you anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ? So if you're anticipating that day, then I would believe that we too would be like Paul in this area. Those who are eager for Christ's return are usually eager to fulfill His calling before He returns. Now, I can only answer that in my life. I can't answer that in anybody else's life. I want you to understand that. And you might say, well, Chad, you're trying to push something on us. No, I'm not trying to push anything on you but the Word of God itself. That's all I'm trying to do here. They persevere, because they know that their final salvation and righteousness are sure. I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 25 here this morning. I got about three chapters that I want you to turn here this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll read verse number 25. If you want, you can go ahead and put your finger in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, and then you can put another finger. God gave us eight fingers and two thumbs, so you can put another finger in James chapter 1, if you would like. If you run out of fingers, God gave us toes. I'm glad some of you laughed on that one. But I'm going to say this again as I read this verse. They persevere. Who's they? Paul and those that are anticipating His second coming. They persevere because they know that their final salvation and righteousness are sure. So verse number 25, it says this in 1 Corinthians. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, we're going to read verse number 12. says this here. Here's a good word for persevere. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Okay, now let's turn to our final chapter this morning in this, James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. You know, it's amazing how the book of James is just so revealing. It doesn't matter how many times you go through it. There's something new every single time. Every single time. It says this in verse number 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Okay, that's the same crown that's being talked about here. So there's a benefit to persevering in the life that God has given you as a believer. Would you not agree with after the scriptures that we just read? So there's always proof in the pudding, is what the saying goes. We're not going to get to the rest of these verses this morning, but I just want to share something with you real quick. Verses number 9 down through verse number 21, this is just how my mind is working. This is what I've written for my notes this morning, and we're going to see more of this next week. But verse number 9 down through verse number 21 shows a lonely man. Well, who's the lonely man? Well, we read verses 8 through 14, and Paul begins to name some people in his life. So who's the lonely man here is Paul. So we're going to see a lonely man. Being in the ministry is very lonely. It truly is. You know, I've heard my father say this on many, many occasions, and I've never really understood it. But now that I've been blessed to be in this position, I totally understand what it means to be lonely. Well, what do you mean by that? Folks, there's just some things that I just can't reveal to people. Well, what do you mean? There's things that people will tell me in confidentiality that I have to keep to myself, then I have to figure out, I have to take it before God, and I seek God in my for counsel in that area, but there's nobody else that I can really talk to. You know, there's some things that I can't even tell my wife about. And because of that, there are some lonely times. You know what loneliness causes a lot of people? Exactly. Loneliness can cause depression. You know, I'm glad that I have the Lord Jesus Christ that I can always fall back on, and that's a great thing. But you got to understand, pastors are human too, and they go through the same emotions that you guys go through. But there are times where in the ministry, it's just very lonely. Some things that you just got to keep to yourself, some things that God's dealing with you on, and you really can't reach out to anybody else. Well, you say, you got some pastor friends. No, you can't even talk to them. There's just things that it's just between you and God. And it becomes very lonely. But with that being said, I'm going to say this. I thank God that he is a great companion, but I'm also thankful that God sends people along the way to be an encouragement. They might not know what you're going through, but God sends people along to be an encouragement. God sends people along to edify you and to lift you up. And I'm thankful for those things. But Paul, he's experienced loneliness. Think about what he went through. Think about the times that he was in prison and what he would go through mentally during that time. So that's what these verses show here. Oftentimes we think we are lonely, but as I just said, we have the greatest companion, and that's who? Jesus, the Lord, God, our Savior, our Jehovah. Because he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I like to quote that quite often in my life because I'll sit there, man, it's just a lonely day. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Oh, yeah, there is. Hey, God, you know exactly what I'm going through. And I'm thankful I'm able to call upon you to be the companion that I need you to be in my life. And I believe we all can testify to that. Yeah, let me do this. If we can testify that this morning, say amen. 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 That's just another way to see if you're awake in church. But as you go through loneliness, Jesus also does this. Jesus will give us strength. Are you not thankful for the strength that he gives you to get through the day? What do you mean by that? There are some things, and I'm not talking physically, because when people think of strength, we like, oh, a big burly man. You know, I'm not talking about that. You can have all the muscles in the world. That doesn't mean you're actually strong. You know, there's some weightlifters out there that can bench press 500, 600 pounds, deadlift over 1,200 pounds. Yeah, they might be strong in that way, but they lack strength in other ways. Jesus will give us strength. He will give us the strength to get through that time of loneliness. So, with that being said, what's our source of strength? Where does it come from? Say it again. From the Lord, which gives us into a written form the Word of God. You know why there are a lot of weak believers in our world today? Because they don't open up the Word to get strength. That's important. You're going to see this next week with Paul. Paul was wanting something to come to him. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but there's some good indication here that Paul was wanting the Bible, his parchments, things that he wrote down from studying and things of that nature. But he gives us strength in this. He encourages us during those lonely times. Now, there are some times where people can be an encouragement, but let's face it, it's not always enough. It's not always enough. But the greatest encouragement that we can ever get, and who it comes from, is from the Lord himself. And I'm thankful for that. And I know Paul is too. Paul mentions, and here's the reason why I mentioned verses number 9 through verse number 21. Paul makes mention of 17 people and how important his friendships were to him. Paul, in my mind, was a rough man. Not really having many friends. But we see here 17 people came into Paul's life. And so those 17 people probably had an impact in his life some way or another. Now, we read of one, and it talks about Alexander. Basically saying, hey man, Alexander, he was a pain in my side. Lord, you give him his due reward. But Paul had 17 people that apparently impacted his life in some way or another. So friendships were important to him. But oftentimes we found Paul separating ways from his friends. And there are reasons why that there is separation that takes place. And I'm going to help us understand a few of those this morning. Paul was fortunate that a few men that he was around during that time was very fortunate that these men were able to minister to him in his darkest hours. And that's one of the reasons why he mentions some of these, because they did minister to him in his darkest hours. I asked my father several years ago, I said, Dad, I go, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, who feeds you? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, other than the Bible, I said, who encourages you along the way? In other words, who's your friend that ministers to you during your times of needing being ministered to? And he's able to share a few names with me, and I was thankful that he had that in his life. But Paul was fortunate that he had a few. Verse number 10 through verse number 13, there is a list of men that were in the life of Paul, and I'm not going to read their names again because I know some of you said, Chad, you really butchered those names. And I would say, yes, I did, which is why I read through them very fast so you don't notice it, but some people notice it. That's one of the things I struggled with in school. I wasn't very good at pronouncing everything. That's okay. God still loves me. Amen. That's how he made me. Moses had a speech problem. So, oh well. But verse number 10 through 13, Paul is separated from some of his co-laborers. Have we considered why he was separated? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of them. They were only separated because of different assignments in the ministry. So they had to go their separate ways. And they would do other things. Well, who were some of the our pastor's closest friends? Well, some of you don't know Brother Kimmel, some of you do. Brother Kimmel has been with the Lord now probably about 10, 12 years, been a while. And that was my father's, one of his closest friends. But God used him to be a missionary to the deaf in our world. Even though they're good friends, they were being assigned in other places of the ministry. Brother Ziner is another good friend. That's what I'm trying to get at. I'm trying to paint this picture. They get different assignments into the ministry, which is why some of them left. Others, there was a fallout. There was a disagreement. Not everybody's going to agree on the same thing. I know for a fact, as I've stood up here probably this last 35 minutes, not everybody has agreed with me. Why is that? Because we're human. We all have a different thought process. We all have different convictions. And because of that, there are some differences that Paul had, and they would part ways. So those are the two reasons. But here's the amazing thing about that. Even though we might not always agree, guess what the great thing about that is? We still serve the same God. Amen? Well, hopefully we do. But we shouldn't allow things to come in between us to separate us just because we disagree on some things. Paul is going to call back somebody in his life that was very beneficial to him. And I believe he regrets some of the things that took place. So one of them that is mentioned here in verse number 9, there is a man by the name of Demas. Demas was a fair-weather friend. Anybody ever have a fair-weather friend? We all had those growing up, and we might have those now in our life. But he's a fair-weather friend. And then there was another one that was considered a quitter. And that was who? That was Mark. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 15. Mark was considered a quitter, but in the book of Acts, chapter 15, this morning, if you're alive and you're glad God saved you, say amen. See, that's just so helpful for me. Acts chapter 15, verse number 37 through verse number 40, it reads this. It says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay, now here's a fallout here. It says, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. I'm sorry for laughing. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asundered one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Okay, they had disagreements. They parted ways. But did you see what took place? They went in other directions. We're not always going to agree with one another. But we also got to understand, even though we don't agree, we all have one thing in common. That's who? It's Jesus Christ. That can solve everything. So Mark was considered a quitter. Paul also welcomed Mark back when he renewed his commitment to the Lord. Verse number 11, it says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. What's it say? It says this, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Do you think Paul, in his moments that he knew that he was going to leave this world, had some regrets in life? And he came to a conclusion in his life, hey, man, Mark, he was very beneficial to me. I almost wondered if he was doing this. Man, if Mark and I were still together, what would be happening in this world today? Man, we were a powerful force. Things were happening. Souls are being saved, but we let our differences come between us, and we parted our ways. But now Paul, as he's getting ready to be offered, because it says this here in verse number 6, says, for I'm now ready to be offered, meaning he's going to be persecuted. He's going to be martyred here at some point in time. He knew his time was very close. And Paul begins to reflect back on his life, and he says this, yeah, I have some regrets, and one of the regrets is this. Mark, he was profitable for me, for the ministry. He taught me some things. He brought some things out that I was able to lean on, and I was able to use in my ministry, and I was able to grow from those things. What's the great thing about this? The great thing about this verse right here is this. Even though we might have some sharp contention between us, here's what needs to take place in all of our life, because we all have one thing in common. I want us to understand the one thing we have in common is Jesus Christ. And because we have Jesus Christ in common, guess what needs to take place when you and I don't disagree with one another or don't agree with one another? We need to be learn to forgive. That's what needs to take place in all of our lives. You mean even in your life, as you're teaching us and as you're leading us, there's some you need to learn to forgive people? Yes, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I'm going to be open as I can be right now. There are some people that bug me. There are some people that I do not want to be around. Is it someone in our church? No. But they're believers. And you know what I need to do? I need to realize, even though that there might be something sharp between us, at one point in time in life, they were profitable for me. And I need to be willing to forgive. But I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. I'm not at that stage with some people. I'm not. You mean, are you angry, bitter, got hatred? Hey, folks, I'm no different than anybody else. My calling might be a little bit higher than yours, but I'm no different. And I'm going to be honest, I'm just not there with some folks. And I'm going to be honest with you, it bugs me. Especially when it's thrown back in my face. And I shouldn't be that way. It took Paul something drastic in his life's about to happen, and now he's wanting to make amends. He's asking Mark, and bring him with thee. I want to see him before I depart. I want to let him know that I loved him. I want to let him know that he was profitable to me. And I'm seeing this in here. It's not saying this, but I'm seeing that Paul's wanting to seek forgiveness. I'm going to be honest with you folks. I need to get to that point. Why? Because that's holding me in bondage. And I can't allow those things. Now, do I have to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness? No, I don't have to. I can be done with it right now and just say, you know what? I forgive them. But my stupid darn flesh has a strong hold on me. Am I the only one? Okay. Thank you. I feel so good about that now. But honestly, folks, we're all in the same boat. We're not better than anybody else. We might walk around like, oh, I got it figured out better than that believer. You know, walk around with our nose up in the air and just think we're somebody when we're really not anybody. So with that being said, what do we do for Paul in this matter? There are more times when people need more than just prayers. I mean, you've always told us we need to pray for each other. Yes. But there are more times when people just need prayers. And I'm going to give you two things that they need, and I'll be done. What did Paul really need at this point in time? Think about it. Where's he at? Julie, here's what he needed. If you're writing this down, Doug, write this down. He needed comfort, and he needed companionship. Sometimes it's not just about us praying for folks, because let's be honest, we don't always pray for people. They might be on our mind, but there are some times when people just need some comfort. They need somebody around. You know what they need? I'm going to share with you what they need. They need this. That's what they need. This is what brings comfort. This is companionship. And that's what people need in their life. Guys, it's okay for guys to hug other guys. It truly is. But we don't always pray for somebody. Do you see what Paul needed here? What was he saying? Bring Mark. I need Mark. We need comfort. We need companionship. It's not always about prayer. It's more deeper than that. And I hope that you got that from this message this morning. So I hope it's been a blessing to you. I'm going to close up 2 minutes early. And I tried to get out here 10 minutes ago, but I couldn't. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Blessing the next few moments we have in your name. Amen.